Well, good morning, Trace. How are we doing today? Awesome, awesome. Hey, my name is Corey, and I'm actually the pastor at Envoy Church across the road here. So if you don't like my preaching, don't worry. I'm not here very often, all right? I am so excited to be able to see what's happening here and in your all's midst. Our church, for those of you all that don't know, used to be called Sunnyside, was actually a strategic part of planting Trace Church here in the Springs. And I actually got to be a part of that launch team over 7 years ago, which is an incredible thing for me to come back and see this place full and three services and growing and looking to expand. Praise the Lord for what's happening here, huh? Love it. I love it, I love it, I love it. So good to actually be back with you guys again. And many of you guys are familiar faces, and a lot of you guys, I have no clue who you are. But I know that God's got a place for you and a story for you. And if this is your first time here today, we're glad that you're here. Don't judge this church by me, all right? But we're having a good time. Aaron said we're in this top 10 series, and he gave me the topic of prayer to be able to pray about. And so that's what I'm going to be doing for you guys today, is having a conversation. And I got to thinking, I was like, prayer, yeah, like, it's no problem. Let's go talk about prayer. And I started thinking, man, this is a vast, like, very important strategic subject. And so, like, if I got 30 minutes to talk to you guys about, you know, something, what am I supposed to talk to you guys about in this vast subject? And so I did what any good pastor would do, and I prayed about it, okay? So prayed about it, and ultimately what I came to, and I felt like the Lord was leading me to, is, Corey, instead of trying to share some kind of theological treatise on this concept of prayer, how about you just share with these people what you've been learning here recently? And so that's what I'm going to do today, and I'm more of a teacher than a preacher anyway, but this is going to be kind of instructional and maybe inspirational for some of you guys, but I'm just going to talk to you guys about some of the things that God has been teaching me here of late. And so one of the things that we need to go back to is while Jesus was here in flesh and he was here among his disciples had an opportunity to observe him doing a lot of things. But one of the things they got to see him do is pray. And in the midst of him praying, they saw something different in him than they had known before. And they asked this really strategic and I think very significant question. They came to Jesus and said, Lord, teach us to pray. Now, if you know anything about their culture, you would have known that these disciples were uneducated individuals, and God ended up investing in them. Jesus had some time with them. They became world changers. But before this fact, they were Jewish people, and they would have known kind of the regular prayer rhythms of the Jews at this time. They already knew how to pray, in other words. They knew the prayers of the Jews. They knew the times. They observed the rhythms. They did all that kind of stuff. But they saw something in Jesus that they had never experienced before, almost as if they saw Jesus do this and they go, I don't even know how to pray. Well, I've been doing it like my whole life, but I see something in you and I see you do this in a way that goes, can you teach me how you pray? Because obviously there's this great chasm between what I'm doing and what I see you doing. And I believe that question is both valid and valuable to us today. That those of us who are just beginning this journey of faith and those of us that are seasoned saints, to be able to ask a question or for that matter, to pray a prayer that says, Lord, teach me to pray. And I'm actually gonna ask you guys to actually repeat that with me as a prayer as we start our conversation today. Lord, teach me to pray. You all say that with me. Lord, teach me to pray. Because it doesn't matter how steeped you are in this, the reality is that there are some layers that go deeper and further than what we have ever been able to understand and see ourselves. And so what I want to do with you guys today is I've been praying this prayer for the last couple years. As a pastor, as a follower of Jesus for many decades already, like I know how to pray. I've prayed a lot in my past. But I've come to this realization that I know very little about prayer and how God actually wants us to be able to pray. And so I've been praying this prayer, Lord, will you teach me to pray afresh? Will you teach me to pray anew? And so I'm going to share a few things that God has just been able to pass along to me that I can pass along to you today. The first thing I'd want to share with you is this. I've learned that the beginning of prayer is honesty. The beginning of prayer is honesty. I'll let you guys into myself a little bit. I don't know if it's a typical guy, but I am not a very emotional being. I don't really like my feelings. When I feel something, I immediately put it in my brain and I start to process it so that I can actually reason with myself, not why I'm feeling this way, but like how not to feel that way. I don't know if any of you guys find yourself in that space at all, but like I reason through or rationalize through my emotions. And very rarely do I allow myself to actually feel them, because oftentimes what I feel is so strong that I don't want it to let control me. And I certainly don't want to share it with anybody else, because that would expose like the inner workings of myself. And I don't want to do that, because that makes me vulnerable, right? And oftentimes those feelings are rooted in things that I don't like. And I don't want you to see, and I don't want my wife to see, and I don't want my kids to see. One of the things that I've been learning through counseling and some challenge and all that is like, that's unhealthy. So if anybody processes like that, like, go see a counselor, okay? I can recommend a few. They're good people, right? But what happens is like, people that you're close to, they need to know those inner workings regardless of whether it's ugly or not. They want to know you. Like, they don't want to know like the false you or the prefaced you. They just want to know the deep you, even the like insecurities and the failures in your life. But we're so scared to be able to actually release those things to others, and therefore we cause this dissonance or this disconnect between those relationships. I'm learning that from a relational standpoint, but I'm learning that from a relational standpoint because I've actually been learning that from a spiritual standpoint. I didn't recognize this and I didn't realize this, but that's actually how I enter into my conversations with God. You see, oftentimes something would come into my heart, something come into my life, and I would go, I can't pray that. Like, that's not how God wants me to feel. That's not how I should feel. Like, theologically, I know something different than what I'm feeling right now, but this is how I'm feeling. And so what I would do is I would kind of guard my prayers. I would preface my prayers. I would actually create some kind of barrier between what I was feeling and what I was praying, because I can't pray that. And all of a sudden, God has been revealing to me that the beginning of prayer is actually honesty. C.S. Lewis says it this way. He says, we must lay before him what is in us, not what ought to be in us. And what I found myself doing is I would go to God, and I have the verbiage. I know how to talk to God. I know what I'm supposed to say. I know what I ought to say, but what I ought to say is not oftentimes what I want to say. You all need to write that down. That's good. That wasn't even in my notes. You all need to put that in, all right? But what I ought to say is not what I want to say, and therefore I fail to actually communicate with God. And then somehow I create a distance between me and God. God's just like, will you just lay it bare? I already know what's in your heart anyway. Just give it to me, right? I'm big enough for that. I've actually been learning from King David a little bit in the Psalms. When you listen to his prayers and you listen to the way in which he communicates with God, it's kind of inspiring, and at other levels, it's kind of frustrating. For a long time, I had a problem with the Psalms because of that very dissonance that I had in my own life, right? Because I would listen to things that David would say, and I'd be like, David, you're being too real, right? Like, you're sharing too much right now. You need to hold back a little bit, because what you're saying is not even theologically accurate. It's not even true, but you're saying it to God. And so like, maybe you should restructure your prayers, right? But he's been teaching me, right? He's a man after God's own heart. And he doesn't have any problem being able to lay his life bare to God, even when it's ugly. And there's something refreshing about being able to see that. Let's take a look at Psalm chapter 22. He actually gives us an example of this. He says, my God, why have you abandoned me? Why are you so far away from me when I groan for help? Every day I call to you, my God, but you do not answer. Every night I lift my voice, but I find no relief. These are David's words that he's speaking unto God. Two things I want to point out here real quick. First of all, are these things accurate about God? Is he distant from David? No, he's not. He tells us that he's ever near us, especially, you know, David, a man after God's own heart. He's placed his spirit in him. He's guiding him. He's directing him. He's right there with him. Like, what David's actually speaking is not actually accurate in the spiritual realm. It's not theologically true, but it's how David is feeling. Second question, how many of you guys have felt that way before? How many of you guys have gone through a dark night of your soul? How many of you all have drifted away from God, where you've been lost in sin and you've been lost in self and you've been lost in this life and you've been pursuing other things and you have felt like God is far from you and distant from you and abandoned you? Jesus himself utters these very words on the cross. You see, David had the courage to speak what most of us oftentimes feel in our hearts, but sometimes they're so reserved that we don't think that we can go to God, because we need to go with him with reverence. We need to go to him with truth. But he goes, no, I just need you to come to me just as you are. Lay it bare. Because then he has the power to be able to redirect our thoughts. And that's what I love about David. He doesn't stay in this like self, centric place. He actually turns his eyes to God. And then it goes on to say, yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. Our ancestors trusted in you and you rescued them. They cried out to you and they were saved. They trusted in you and were never disgraced. You see, David's not afraid to be able to tell God what's in his heart, like some of us are, because oftentimes we go, if I verbalize it, then maybe it will actually be more true than what it was. No, David says, I'm gonna reveal everything that's in me, and then I'm gonna allow you to transform my mind. I'm gonna allow you to be able to then take my thoughts and set them on you so that I can be able to deal with this. Oftentimes I felt like I can't release those thoughts because I don't wanna stay in those thoughts. But what I found is when I'm able to actually release them to God, I'm able to speak them to God, then he's able to take them and transform them and mold them so that he can give me back thoughts. You see, honesty ultimately leads to honor. When we're honest with God, he allows us to be able to set our minds on his thing. When it comes down to it, confession is simply speaking the truth. And I know some of you guys might come from a background where you were encouraged to confess to a priest and you hated that process, right? You didn't love this idea of going to a place and actually telling some guy that you don't know all of your sins, and that's how you think of confession. But that's not actually what we see. Confession is this prayer language of honesty unto God. It's simply speaking to God what is true. Sharing with him your sins, certainly, and the ways in which we've screwed up and you failed, but also just sharing with him your failures and your insecurities and your fears, because God is big enough to receive it and he will help direct it. I think we need to simply go to God with the truth. No need for filters or corrections or apologies or prefaces. God just wants us to come directly to him. Lord, I'm disappointed. Lord, I'm scared. I'm angry. I'm overwhelmed. I'm frustrated, even with you. Right? Some of you guys know a little bit of my story, but my story is connected to my wife's story, and we've made it really public. Like, we've dealt with mental illness and depression in our household for years, and it's been a big part of our story. God has been using that to be able to open up doors of opportunities, to be able to talk with other people and make it a conversation in the church and allow people to kind of navigate that. So God, we see God doing some really good things in that. But a couple years ago, on top of this struggle that we've had in our home, my wife was diagnosed with Lyme disease. And then we started seeing some things happening in my oldest daughter's life. And we were like, man, there's some similarities between what she's dealing with, what my wife was dealing with. And come to find out, she was also diagnosed with Lyme disease. I was struggling with some depression through all of that. And I knew how to go to God. I knew what I ought to say to God. I know that he never leaves me or forsakes me. I know that he's always with me. I know that whatever I'm going through in this life can ultimately be good for his good and our good and his glory. Like, I know all that stuff. I know what I'm supposed to pray, but that's not what I wanted to pray. For me, understanding prayer and the depths of prayer, the way that Jesus prayed, it begins with honesty. I went on a walk and I had a conversation with God. And in this moment, I didn't pray what I ought to pray. I prayed what I wanted to pray. And so the rest of your years, it might sound heretical, right? But unto God, it was exactly what I needed to be able to do. And so I came to him and I said, Lord, why? We've already been through so much. We struggle so much. Can you not give my wife a break? Everything that she's been through already, and yet we have to go this. Now we're seeing this in my kid's life. Why, Father? I'm so overwhelmed. Like, how much more can we take as a family? We're being faithful. We're doing what you called us to do. We've left comfort. We've gone everywhere you've called us to go. We're trying to use the things in our life to do good, but like, I'm mad. I'm frustrated. Why will you not take care of this? My mind starts flooding the practicalities of this. Lord, Lyme disease and mental illness, they're not covered by like insurance. And so like, where are we gonna get the finances to go do this kind of stuff? This is like, I know you've provided for us in the past, but this seems insurmountable for me right now. I get real personal and introspective, and I don't like it. I start talking about how, God, this affects me. Like, now Like, I've got to devote my time to being able to address this stuff. I got to devote our resources to this stuff. I got to devote my energies to this stuff. And you've given me these other things. And now how am I supposed to do that and do this? How am I supposed to go and kind of revamp this church that you called me to go do and then be able to take care of my family the way that you called me to take care of your family? I am mad. I'm pissed. Are you allowed to say that to God? Have you said that to God? For me, I knew what I ought to say, but in that moment, being able to share with God what I wanted to say was the beginning for prayer for me. It was the beginning of like an intimate relationship with God, not a cordial, impassionate relationship, but one where He already knows my heart and what's in me, but I'm able to bear this thing. And it wasn't something where I shared it and now I'm just mad at God forever. I was able to share that and he was able to take that and rework it in my life to where he goes, hey, I've heard you out and I know where you're coming from and I'm gonna help you through it. Some of us, as it comes to prayer, need to leave the formalities behind. Is there a place for that? Yeah, we'll talk about that here in a minute. But yeah, I think some of us just need to be honest with God and just lay our hearts bare. Lord, meet us in our feelings, in our fears, in our failures. Help us to be honest with you. You know, Paul would later take Jesus' words and his instruction on prayer and he would offer kind of a different direction for this. He speaks to the Thessalonica church and in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, he makes this statement kind of almost in passing and with a bunch of other things, but it's kind of a big statement. He says this, never stop praying. I'm giving you this instruction. I'm giving you this commandment. Like as you all are processing through your faith, I want you to never stop praying. I want you to pray without ceasing. I don't know if you guys have stopped to think about that. Like that's kind of a hard thing to do, isn't it? Especially how we typically think about prayer. In order to be able to actually accomplish this, you have to think about prayer differently. You can't think in terms of the formalities and the rhythms of prayer. Now, are those things important? Absolutely. We need to have certain rhythms put in our life. We need to have certain times where we devote to being able to go to God and prayer and fast. Most other religions, they actually orient their lives and their days around these prayer sessions. I don't know if you stop to think about that, but you take a look at Muslims. They pray 5 times a day. Everything else that they do in their life, at the times that they have people over, the work that they do, it's oriented around those times of prayer. And when that time of prayer comes, they drop everything that they're doing and they do that. In the Jewish faith, you look at this, they got 3 times that they devote to prayer a day and they stop what they're doing because that's actually the most important thing. Their life and their day is oriented around prayer. Whereas for most of us Christians, what do we do with prayer? We relegate it to where if we have enough time, we try to fit it in, don't we? Isn't that true? It's like, if I can get some time to pray today or something kind of comes up, then I'll pray. And spontaneous prayer is certainly important. We'll talk about it, but there's an importance to that rhythm of prayer and those formal prayers and be able to set that side of time. But in order for us to be able to pray without ceasing, we need to be able to take a look at prayer different. And what we need to understand is that prayer is not always experienced and expressed in the same way by each person. You're created differently than I am, and you're created differently than your spouse is. And so just because other people have told you how to pray, or this is the way in which you should pray, or this is the form or function you should pray, maybe God has actually created a different pathway for you to follow to be able to connect with him better than others. Have you ever thought about that? Because I think sometimes for prayer for us, it's like trying to fit a square peg in a round hole, right? Where somebody has told you, this is how you should pray. And you try to do that and you're like, man, I suck at prayer, right? Maybe it's because there are different ways in which you can pray. And so what I would encourage you guys today, as I have learned, is that you should pray as you can, not as you can't. Pray as you can, not as you should. Just because other people have done this or found ways to do this doesn't mean that that's the way in which you should. Now, should you take notes from them? Should you give it a try? Should you try to do things other people do? Absolutely. But if it doesn't fit for you, if it doesn't work for you, if it doesn't actually help you be able to come before God and be honest with him and be able to have a relationship with him, try something new. Try something different. Some of you guys have heard of those great people. Maybe some of you all are these people in your life that you go, you know what? I sit down and I dedicate an hour of prayer every day at this particular time. And I sit there and I just sit before God and I just pray with him. That is an awesome practice. You know what happens whenever I go to sit down for an hour of prayer? Nothing. My mind wanders. I can't stay in that place. Like I lose concentration. My mind goes everywhere. I get to a place where I stop having conversations with God. And then I'm like, that's it, God. That's all I've got. All right. Now, does that mean that I'm a failure at prayer? Don't say yes, please. I already feel bad about myself. No, it doesn't mean I'm a failure at prayer. It means that, you know what? If that's a practice that I find benefit in, I should stay the course. But if there are other ways in which I can pray, then I should pray as I can. So if I can't pray for an hour, maybe I'm praying for a minute at a time at each, you know, at each hour of the day where I'm actually devoting myself to that. If I can't pray with my eyes closed and my head bound and my hands folded, then maybe you should try opening your eyes and lifting your hands. If I can't pray sitting still, maybe you should try moving. If I can't pray laying down, maybe I should try walking. If I can't pray in silence, maybe you should try putting some music on. If I can't pray in a closet, maybe I should go out into nature. If I can't pray because there's so many distractions, maybe I need to put a pen in my hand to keep my eyes on the ink. Pray as you can, not as you should or as you ought to pray. As I've been thinking about that and praying about it and asking the Lord kind of reveal to me what his pathway for prayer is in conversation with me, what I've come to learn by looking back is that I pray when I walk. Like when I really want to pray, like I've got to move. I've got to move. I got to keep my eyes open because when I close my eyes, I get distracted. But when I actually want to pray with God, I just start walking and I'll sometimes pace or I'll sometimes circle around. But oftentimes I go out into nature. I go out into the street and I go into the neighborhood or go to the park and I start walking. I just talk with God. I found this out by again, looking back and seeing the times where I really felt like I connected with God and I heard from him. One of those times was actually in the very decision that I needed to make in order to be able to come to be a part of this church launch 7 years ago. Aaron had said, hey, I'm gonna plant this thing and I want you to come be a part of it with me and I want you to pray about it. So I've been praying about it. I've been seeking some advice and wisdom from other people and I'd been bringing it to the people that I needed to, but I was still really undecided on this. I just didn't have a confirmation in my heart. And so I did what I knew how to do. I went to a park and I just started walking around the park and I was praying. And this is not gonna mean much to any of you guys, all right? But to me, it meant something to me. I was walking and there was a rock on this trail. And so I just started kicking the rock because that's what guys do, all right? We just kick rocks, all right? And so I'm kicking this rock and I would keep praying, Lord, just give me confirmation. Will you tell me whether or not I'm supposed to do it? And I'd get up to that rock again, I'd kick it again, right? And I just kept doing this, you know, over and over, kicking this rock all the way down this path. And it was in that moment, all of a sudden, like I started realizing that as I was walking up to this rock, 3, 4, 5 paces before I get there, I started to realize I already knew which foot I needed to go to in order to kick this rock. Okay, and I'm not a soccer player. I'm not really foot-minded or anything like that. And so, but there was this kind of intuition. It's like, I know which foot I'm gonna kick it with when I get to the rock. And I get to the next one and I'm just kind of doing this. And all of a sudden in this moment, as clear as it was to me, and this is really ambiguous to you, all of a sudden I felt God saying, Corey, your decision that I want you to make is just like kicking this rock. You already know intuitively. This is what I've called you to do. This is what I've been preparing you to do. This is what I'm asking you to go to do. I want you to go support your friend's vision. I want you to be a part of this. And kicking a rock by walking with God helped me to be able to come to a clear understanding of what he is calling me to do. Now, I doubt very seriously that any of you guys experience God by kicking rocks, okay? But for me, that's what I needed to do. I needed to go for a walk. And I found that is one of the things, one of the pathways. And so because now I know that like that's how I pray, that's how God connects with me primarily in this place, then it's one thing to know that pathway, but it's another thing to actually put it into place somehow in the rhythms of your life. So if I know that God wants to meet me when I'm walking, then I should find times during my day and during my week that I'm walking. It's one of the reasons why as a church, our Envoy church staff, every Wednesday at 1 o'clock, we set aside an hour from 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock and we go to different neighborhoods and we actually do some prayer walking. They don't all connect through prayer walking and that's fine, that's their deal. But for me, as I'm leading that, I'm saying, hey, you guys come along with me and let's meet God on this journey. And so a couple years ago, what we ended up doing was we did this 21-mile prayer walk around this area that we consider God's influence from our church. And so we did this prayer perimeter, if you will. And then every week we go to a different neighborhood and we just walk through that area. And we start praying for the houses and we start praying for the people. And we pray that every place that we put our feet, that God would actually claim for his kingdom and for our influence. Because that's how God has wired me. And so that's how I lead our people as well. So Lord, help us to pray as we can, not as we should. Lord, I pray that you would help each of these individuals know how you've connected them and how you've designed them to be able to actually hear from you and for you to hear from them. With that said, guys, I again, as a teacher, there are some things that I've shared with you already. I think starting with honesty is a big part that I've learned. Learning my pathway to prayer has been incredibly helpful, but sometimes I still struggle with what to pray. You guys ever struggle with what to pray? Ever get into a place where you start to pray and you go through the formalities and all of a sudden you enter into this gap, this abyss where it's just you and your mind in this blankness of conversation where you're like, I don't even know what to say now, God. I think that space can actually be very, very valuable. But a lot of us kind of give up on that space and we don't know what to actually insert in that space. And so we go, I get to that place. And so I guess, amen, because I'm done. That's all I've got to say, right? And so what I wanted to do is, as we finish up our time together, I wanted to give you all just a few practical things that I've learned to fill that space and that void with that have really, really helped me to understand how to be able to talk to God and hear from him. One of the things is a two-part question that I learned from a guy named Jamie Winship several years ago. And he taught me how to do this. And honestly, when I find myself in those voids, in those places, this is what I pray. I say these two things. Lord, what do you want me to know right now? What do you want me to know? You're an infinite God. You have all things under your control. You're able to give me specific insight into things. You can give me general insight into things. Just what do you want me to know? And then what do you want me to do? With the knowledge that you gave me, see, my faith is not a knowledge-based faith. It's an obedience-based faith. And so, Lord, you've given me some knowledge. So what do you want me to do to actually act upon that? And when you can say those words, when you can actually mean those prayers, then here's the deal. This is what we know. If you're a follower of Jesus, he's given you his spirit to live and dwell in you, which means that he's connected your mind to the mind of God. And so when we sit and we ask a question like this, God is able to connect our minds to a picture, to an image, to a person, to a place, to a phrase, whatever that happens to be, where God actually speaks to you and he'll let you know things. He'll let you know who you should be praying for, who you should go talk to, or where you should actually be at that point in time. And so I use this kind of in all of my interactions with God. As I'm reading the Bible and I open it up, I say, Lord, what do you want me to know today from the passages that I'm reading? What do you want me to do about it? When I'm doing these prayer walks and we're going through the neighborhoods, I'm saying, Lord, what do you want me to know about this street? What do you want me to know about that house? What do you want me to know about that couple? And what do you want me to do about it? When I'm having a conversation with somebody, I can be in the middle of that conversation and I'm praying this prayer in my mind. Lord, what is it that you want me to know about this person? Is there some kind of specific insight that you could give me? A question that I could ask them? A place that I could push on them that could allow me to be able to encourage their conversation towards you? And what do you want me to do? Ask those two questions and you'll find that God, the God of this universe, will answer in time. Another thing that I've been doing here recently is when I find myself in that void, I oftentimes go to scriptures and I go to actually pray through the things that have actually already been prayed or encouraged to pray. When you start looking through the scriptures, you actually start to realize that there are things that are written down that other people prayed that we're actually encouraged to pray, and I don't have to come up with my own verbiage, right? I can actually just look at the scriptures and go, oh, that's a great prayer. I should pray that. And sometimes they're like direct prayer from the scripture. Other times there'll be things that are said that I'm like, oh man, that would be an awesome prayer to pray over my family. That would be a great prayer to pray over my church right now. Recently, I found myself in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 through 4. And this is a prayer that I've been praying for myself and for my friends. Paul actually gave this prayer to the Colossian church to be able to pray on his behalf. Take a listen to what it says. It says, devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Pray for us too that God will give us many opportunities to speak about his mysterious plan concerning Christ. That is why I'm here in chains. Pray that I will proclaim this message as clearly as I should. You hear all that prayer language that's already spoken in scripture. And so when I find myself in that void, I go, this is something I can pray. It's already something that's there. And so I've been praying for myself and this group of guys that I call my mighty men over at Envoy, that God would open up some doors of effective opportunity. and that he would be able to help them to proclaim those things clearly, and that they would see those opportunities as they come. And this is what I've come to find out about God and my prayers. When I pray for things that I know that God already desires and wills in his life, then I should keep my eyes open because he's going to answer those prayers. And so we've been able to see over the past several weeks as we've been praying this prayer together, all the stories of these guys going, I never knew my coworker or my neighbor just happened to show up to my house, or my brother called me and he never calls me. And all of a sudden we start to see these doors of opportunities, all because we're praying the things that God already wants us to pray. Last practical thing for you guys. I had a friend up in Denver who's been mentoring me in some areas and love some things that they're doing at their church. And he was doing this training. And at the end of this training, he called all the pastors to actually do this thing. He called us to do this prayer list. Now, some of you guys have heard prayer list. I heard him say this and I'm like, immediately kind of dismissed. It's like, I don't like, that's not how I operate. I don't like prayer lists. I don't like writing or journaling. It's just not my thing. Like, I don't do that, right? And he's like, no, you just give this a try. And because we should try things to see if it fits or not, I started doing this thing. And so it's plain and simple. You take a piece of paper, you draw a line down the middle on one side, you write already surrendered, or you can write already convinced, or follower of Jesus, or saint, or whatever it happens to be. These are the people who make up the church, the people who sit around you, people that you know that are already gonna be entering into the kingdom of heaven, yet we have the privilege and the opportunity every day to go to God on their behalf and intercede for whatever's going on in their life. Some of the things that we know that are going on in their life, some of the things that we kind of can foresee that are gonna be happening. And we get to pray for them and just kind of write their name down and maybe write kind of a subnote of what it is that you wanna pray. And if you don't know what it is that you should be praying for those people that are in your midst, then you can go to the prayer wall at Trace, by the way, tracechurch.com prayer wall. Go check that out. That's an awesome idea, by the way, that we're gonna steal. I love that idea. But literally, I was scrolling through there, and you may not know it, but the people that are sitting right next to you, they're going through some crap right now. They're going through some difficult things. And you have the opportunity to be able to go before the God of all creation on their behalf and maybe actually shoulder some of their burden with them. You just go through that list and add your stuff and go and start praying for them. It's an incredible thing. And so do that side of the coin. But on the other side, there's another phrase that I would put up there. And I'd say, put not yet there. You can put those that are lost or not yet found, or people that are not yet a follower of Jesus, whatever you want. I just put this term or this phrase not yet because I like to think of people like that. They're not lost, they're just not yet found, right? And when I start thinking about that, I go, the environment that I get to place myself is that in-between time between when God has got a hold of them and they're fully surrendered and when they're wandering a little bit right now and they're just not yet in the midst of this. And you get to start writing down the names of people that you know of that are not yet following after Jesus, or people that you're not quite sure of that are not yet following after Jesus. And I got to tell you, as I started to do this as an exercise for myself, I was kind of ashamed. Because I had a whole list on the side of all surrendered. I only had a few people on the side of not yet. My world as a pastor is oftentimes wrapped up in the body of Christ. And that's my calling. That's what I'm supposed to do. But I have all these other spheres of my life that I wasn't being proactive with. I wasn't doing the things that God was calling me to do. I wasn't adding to that list. But all of a sudden now, as I start to write names on that list, I start to think of people that I can be adding to that list. Just yesterday, I added two more people to this list. A guy named David happens to be the father of a kid that we were coaching up at a league, and he works at Bass Pro, and I'm hoping he gives me a Bass Pro discount. But other than that, like I really care that he comes to know Jesus. And typically, I would look at this as like, oh yeah, he was a nice guy, I got to meet him. But because I've been praying those Colossian prayers and because I've been doing this prayer list, all of a sudden I go, no, I think God's opened up a door of opportunity for me here. He's given me his name. He's given me his number. He's invited me into his life. He's like, he goes on my list. I got invited to a friend's house, and he's a young guy and just rocking in his faith and doing some really cool things. And he's connected to a lot of those people that are not yet, and I love it. But he invited me over to a crawfish boil, and being from Kentucky, that's what you do, all right? So let's go eat some crawfish. So I go over to his house, and I'm getting to hang out with some people, and his neighbor shows up a little bit late, but we start getting into this great conversation. And his neighbor's name is Josh, and he starts talking about how he's not spiritual, but his daughter, who's 8 years old, has been asking him to go to church. How does that happen? Like, when do people just start to have a conversation with the pastor about their daughter wanting to go to church and, you know, hey, I'm kind of looking for a church, right? But he's not spiritual. And I go, oh man, Josh is now on my list of those that are not yet. And I don't know what involvement God wants me to play in his life or Sage will play in his life, but now he's on my target list, right? You see, these are all just tools for us to be able to engage, because as followers of Jesus, ultimately we need to make prayer primary. Because when we pray, we're not only connecting to God, but we're unleashing his power in this life. We're connecting his mind to our mind so we can see this world and see people and see situations the way that he sees them. And so I think a prayer that we all need to be praying is, Lord, will you teach us to pray afresh? Hopefully today I've given you some fresh ideas to be able to go to him. It's up to you now to be able to put that into place. What we're gonna do right now is we're gonna enter into a response time, as we oftentimes do here at Trace, but we're gonna do it a little bit different in that we're gonna give you an extended period of time of response. So we still have our communion stations kind of around here, and so feel free to get up and move and go grab communion accordingly. We also have some towels up here that signify surrender. And so if you've not yet surrendered your life to Jesus, and today you go, you know what? I want to know this God that I can connect personally one-on-one with, I can share my life with, and he's still going to receive me. He's not going to reject me. If you want to come grab a towel today, a towel of surrender, not unlike Ryland did and got baptized here, you can come do that. But the rest of that time, I want to encourage you guys just to engage in prayer. Not how you should, not how you ought to, but how God wants you to. And so for some of you, that may be just sitting there with palms open and just asking the Lord to speak to you today. Some of you, it may be getting down on your knees in front of your chair. Some of you, it might be taking a lap around the worship center. We won't think you're weird. Go ahead and do it, right? It might be standing up and just offering God some praise and receiving what he has for you. It might be getting a pen and paper out and starting to do some of these exercises and write some people's names down. It might be going to that prayer wall and actually entering in a prayer request for yourself or praying through some of those prayer requests. There's not a way that you're supposed to interact. You just need to interact. So let me pray, and then we'll enter into this time. Father, I thank you for this congregation and what you're doing in and through these guys. I thank you for this incredible pathway called prayer that all of us intrinsically are drawn to, but Father, most of us are infantile in. We just don't know how to do it. And so can you continue just to teach us afresh how we can communicate with you? It's in Jesus' name we pray, amen.